Among the sacrifices Americans could face because of Tuesday's terror attacks are some compromises in their civil liberties. On Friday, the Senate approved a measure that would expand police powers to investigate terrorism, and other measures are also under consideration. Some investigators have argued for years that they need more freedom to gather intelligence, particularly as terrorists take advantage of secure electronic communications. NPR's Larry Abramson reports that civil liberties groups are rallying against any radical changes, but they're doing so quietly so they don't appear unpatriotic.
When you are at war, civil liberties are treated differently. That statement from Senate Minority Leader Trent Lott shows just how quickly some politicians have accepted the need for expanded police powers. Before Tuesday's attacks, law enforcement officials fought a lonely battle for better investigative tools. For example, police have long complained they are losing the war against criminals and terrorists who can use computers and secure telephone connections to hide their plans. Last year, former FBI Director Louis Freeh complained to a Senate panel about the need for court orders to reveal what's known as the plain text of secret messages.
Without the ability of law enforcement officers to get court-ordered access to plain text, we're going to be out of business in a large number of these cases. And we will never know in some cases who the subjects are, what the conspiracy consisted of. We will be operating with basically primitive tools in a very high-tech environment.
Law enforcement tried repeatedly during the Clinton administration to get special powers so they could decode electronic messages. Police have also struggled to sharpen their wiretapping abilities. Many of these efforts have been stymied thanks to a persistent campaign by a committed group of civil liberties advocates, people like Mike Godwin. Now an attorney with the Center for Democracy and Technology, Godwin says Tuesday's attacks do not change his mind in any way. Expanding police powers to allow more domestic surveillance would be a mistake. He says it's always foolhardy to change basic rights in response to a crisis.
In World War II, we interned the Japanese Americans. And everybody recognizes now, there's no dispute now that, number one, it was unnecessary, and number two, it was a great crime against the civil liberties of loyal Americans.
Other proposals that gain support in times like these include things like national identity cards. Common in other countries, ID cards could help improve airport security, for example. Right now, airport checks rely on driver's licenses, which can easily be forged. Use of fingerprint detectors is even more secure, since they rely on physical markers known as biometric identifiers. But as former federal prosecutor Mark Rash notes, up till now, electronic identification has raised the troubling specter of a large government-run database.
Nobody is using biometrics yet at airports and places like that, mainly because to use biometrics, you need to have a national identity card and a national registry of fingerprints, and no country has that yet.
Police might also catch known terrorists using so-called face recognition technology, but civil liberties groups have demanded limits on the use of software that can pick suspicious faces out of a crowd. Once again, they say there's no way to control the way authorities would use or abuse a huge memory bank of facial characteristics. Attorney Mike Godwin says if we start accepting these ideas now, we may have to live with them forever.
If you use an emergency like this one to ratchet up the degree of general surveillance of society so that we sort of turn ourselves maybe by increments and maybe by great leaps into a surveillance state, we'll never ratchet down again.
In the past, civil liberties groups have waged their campaigns with something approaching open contempt for police motives. That's changed now. These groups are clearly guarding their remarks, and they are obviously concerned that the current crisis mentality will eat into support for civil liberties. And there are signs that some Americans are ready to accept an erosion of civil liberties. Sue Johnston is a graduate student at the University of Washington in Seattle.
It probably is going to happen. I think things have changed so much, even in the past decade, but after a few days ago, it's been much more apparent that we need to do things differently. And it makes me nervous, but I probably could support it in a limited way.
Some say this kind of pragmatism is a good sign. It shows Americans are accepting the gravity of the situation. Frank Gaffney is a former Reagan administration official and founder of the Center for Security Policy. He says some loss of liberty is almost to be expected.
It's likely to get worse. before it gets better. And I think to the extent that the American people understand the imperative of mitigating these dangers to all of us, they will be willing to accommodate themselves to hardships and, yes, even sacrifices that will be entailed by compromises of our civil liberties.
This debate is clouded by one fact. We won't know what new powers police need until the investigation reveals just how the plot was hatched. But no matter what we learn, the tenor of this debate has clearly shifted. Civil liberties groups will have to work harder to avoid losing ground, and law enforcement will have a strong argument to make the next time they ask lawmakers for stronger tools. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.